Good morning, citizen lobbyist.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Well, I'm warm. I'm comfortable. I'm looking through the window at the shine on the road and thinking that it's probably a little bit slippery and it's foggy and maybe some places headed toward Anchorage or worse. But right now, I'm comfortable.
Yeah, that fog is something else, isn't it? The last couple of days, it's been something else. But I'm hearing it's lifting a little bit. In fact, I have to head in later, and I'm hearing it's a little better than yesterday. But, yep, those roads are going to be slick for sure.
Right.
So take care out there.
Okay. So this has been an interesting week. It's the week that led up to Halloween. And there was a school board meeting Wednesday. I don't have the full details on that. I didn't stream it. Were you by any chance there?
I wasn't there, but I do intend to, as soon as you put it up, Mike, I will listen to it, and we can talk about it next week, because I don't think there's not a school board meeting next week, so we'll talk about that next week.
Right.
I didn't get any flashes, this big thing happened, so I'm thinking it was probably, it was over, I know, probably
pretty
right
quickly.
Right about the time the baseball game was over, I guess.
And just before, I think they were in the eighth inning or something of that sort, which drew a lot of people's attention, of course, throughout all that. Well, I thought we would talk a little bit about some upcoming meetings. In particular, I've noticed since the city of Palmer has changed up things a little bit, they're having a special meeting on November 7th. And and this is in part a little bit out of order because they've canceled the following week's regular meeting. They're in the process of hearing from people within the city about different aspects of the budget as they're rolling on toward making a final determination no later than December 9th. So for the city of Palmer, things are very different than for the assembly or the school board, which will be aiming toward the next spring, summer for the completion of their budget activities.
But
I thought that it would be worth mentioning something. A number of listeners are aware, probably, that there are a variety of committees and groups that advise the council. And one of them is the Board of Economic Development. And it actually is going to have a meeting on November 6th, which is Monday, at the City Council Chambers. And there have been a variety of different people who have been on that Board of Economic Development in the past. And some of them have just turned over and gone elsewhere. But the chairperson of that group is Dusty Silva. And I just...
Lamar Anderson, and he stepped down away from after, I think he was on it five or six years.
Yes, he was. He was. And just a reminder that the other people that are presently on that board are Christopher Chappell, Barbara Hunt, Lori Copenberg, Kelly Turney, Peter Christopher, and Janet Kincaid. Those people are spending a fair amount of time talking about stuff, and it's possible, if you're interested, we don't stream that particular meeting, but it's possible for people to go and sit in the audience and participate and listen to their discussion and comment, just as with the council meetings. And so
that's true. People sometimes, some of those subcommittee meetings, Mike, you and I both have found out over the time, turn out to be some very interesting meetings that kind of go under the radar. So, I would encourage people to do too. I haven't looked yet. Usually they're pretty good about putting up their agendas for those meetings, at least the Planning Commission.
Right. And I'm looking at the agenda. I prepped for this.
And good.
So what there are two things that might be of interest to people. They have from Unfinished Business a committee of the whole discussion of their economic development strategic plan. This is going to be something that would be given to the council to take a look at this focus of economic development in the city of Palmer. And
I thought that they did that. I thought that's what Lamar Anderson did the last one of the last council meetings that he left that with them. Is this something new?
I think the work plan aspect of it, I think what I see here is that it's still sitting there. There's some action that has to be taken, and it might be the work plan of what, now that you have the strategic plan, what role will the Economic Development Board take in pursuing action on it? You know, my sense about this is that, and I'm still getting my own mind around the relationship between the Economic Development Board and the council. You know, it seems on the face of it that the Economic Development Board will focus on contact with people and development of ideas, which are then presented to the council about how economic development can best occur in the city of Palmer. The city council obviously has the last word in making decisions about this, but once a plan is out there, I think there's still continuing work that's done with that.
Okay.
So I think that's what I read on the agenda. And also there's some new presentation. There's a planning director for AHFC, the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation, mm-hmm. is going to make a presentation on housing in both Palmer and the Mat-Matsu Valley. So these are serious things.
Yeah, might be definitely worth checking in with.
And then, of course, over at the Borough Assembly, there is going to be a meeting on Tuesday.
The
7th, which is their somewhat regular assembly meeting that will carry on with a full complement of assembly members there.
Right, and this will be, of course, Ted Leonard, who was newly elected to the Wasilla area assembly seat, and Dan Mayfield, who was reelected from the Big Lake area, will both be there. So hopefully there will be full chairs. I know over the last year, Mr. Culligan, who sat in the Wasilla seat, did a lot of teleconferencing and was out of country a lot. So I expect Ted Leonard to be there more present, which I think is always an advantage to the people they represent, for people to actually be there. And they are taking up some interesting things too, Mike. They're going to talk about, years ago, I suppose, maybe 5 or 6 years ago now, they had changed the amount to the assembly. When Mr. Arvin was on there, he moved to, I think it was Mr. Arvin that moved to change the makeup of the ethics board from 5 to 15 members. They were never able to fill those 15 members. Luckily, they didn't have any issues that went to the ethics board, and we could talk about maybe that was a strategy to keep people away, but they are going to go back to a 5-member board now, and so I see that on the agenda by Mr. Halter, because I think that totally makes sense.
Okay, and this is the regular assembly meeting on November 7th, right?
Right. And there's also a resolution that'll be interesting, that of a repeal of SB 91, the crime bill that's being sponsored by Leonard Mayfield in Kahlewaukee, which is interesting just in that, they're talking, recommending that they begin anew with criminal reform. So not any talk about SB 54, which is the substitute sort of fixing some of the ills of 91. So that might be an interesting conversation. And I'm sort of scratching my head wondering if it's maybe premature, since the legislature really hasn't fixed on what they're going to do with it. But so be it. And they'll have their conversation. It looks like there's already 3 firm supporters of that. So
right.
We'll see where that goes.
And of course, the news that's emanating from Juneau is that reality in the form of costs of making changes is giving legislators a chance to pause. There were some suggestions about, for example, strengthening some of the sentencing and essentially increasing the number of people that would be incarcerated. And that has been suggested a costly thing. The legislature would be essentially cutting into the savings that supposedly the SB 91 had produced. and we're talking about millions of dollars more. So people are realizing that if you make a change here, there are some hard dollars that are attached to those changes.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's what it's always going to come down in these areas, Mike, is what the bottom line is the state retracts in its funding, and that a little bit of a learning curve goes here. A lot of the projects we see around us have not, the maintenance of them to the most degree has been a burden of the taxpayers here and the property taxpayers, and some sales tax, but the big mega projects have come from the state, the capital projects, a great amount of funding. For instance, you know, the five schools we built in the last 10 years, 70% of those monies came from the state. And as all that, as they start to retract with their own problems, everybody's looking for savings in a thoughtful way, hopefully, so that we aren't saving money only to spend it later, which will put even a bigger burden on communities. So I think it could be probably argued that, you know, part of the flaws in 91 did result in some burden of costs for some of the cities. But we'll see how that all works out.
You know, there's a couple of other things. Just to rewind back here, today is Thursday, November 2nd, and I note that the planning board meets today at 1 p.m. Have you ever attended a planning board meeting?
Not for a long time. Not for a long time. These must be, are these new plats? These must be new plats, not appeal plats.
Right. I think so. And yeah. Just a reminder to listeners at 1 o'clock this afternoon, if you want to know just what does a planning board do, that meeting is open and it's there. And also, a meeting I know that you've attended, I've attended in the past. There are meetings that occur on a regular basis with the Joint Assembly School Board Committee on School Issues.
Hmm.
And
right.
That's scheduled for next Monday at noon. And yes, and that's an opportunity that very, very seldom do other people attend and observe. But there's some forthright discussion that often happens as a couple of representatives from school board and the assembly meet to talk
right.
about things.
Yeah, that's one that's not often part of the public. The public doesn't often go to that one. And there is, as you say, Mike, a lot of good things come out of that. Another thing I noticed on the agenda was the vacancy report. And, of course, now we're getting into a lot of reappointments of people that are on there that haven't reached their term limits, so we're getting some of that. But if people go to the to the assembly page on the new assembly page on the website, they can download the vacancy report. And a lot of these things that we're talking about, planning board, are looking for new members. So that's a great way to give back to your community by serving on these boards, especially if you have expertise in these areas.
Sure.
The road service areas always need members, just about everyone. And if you look at your own property assessment, it'll tell you what road service area you're in or fire service area. And you can find out if they need somebody to be in there. But the Fish and Wildlife Commission is looking for a member at large. There's a few of them out here that are looking, a lot of them actually are looking for them. So a good thing for people to step up and give for their community and share their expertise.
Right. And so on that same Monday, November 6th, speaking of various committees and boards, et cetera, the Planning Commission is scheduled to meet at 6 p.m.
So, right.
Yeah. And that, of course, is a place gets a lot of attention from time to time.
They have a heavy lift there. Some of their packets outweigh the assembly packets sometimes. And seemingly they have a couple of board members that are going to be terming off too. So I think we'll be looking at some appointments in those areas too. But that's a very serious board. Also a really, I always like to see future assembly members serve on that board. I think they get a variety of things they have to they get some really good experience in listening to testimony and making some hard decisions, which is all sort of a precursor to sitting in the big kids table, as I call it, at the assembly table. So good to go to those meetings too. And those packets are always online as well.
Now, for listeners who may not be familiar with the borough's website, there is a section there on public meetings, and they list all of these meetings. So every one of those meetings that are community council, the variety of fire service areas, road service areas, those meetings, for example, you can find the Butte Fire Service Area Board of Supervisors meeting. You can find the agriculture. There are a number of boards that probably people are not even aware exist, like the Health and Social Services Board, the Library Board, the Port Commission, on and on. These are all groups that are out there doing a lot of work. Go ahead.
And just on that front page, Mike, I've done this. The deadline's coming up. The very front page of the MatSU Borough website, which is www.matsugov.us, is a transportation survey. Have you taken that yet, Mike?
You know, I have not, and I see that it's November 15th is the deadline.
It is, and it's an interesting project survey trying to give the borough some input on what the priorities are for the communities as far as a future transportation plan, and see if it gels with what they have planned. And it really does make you stop and think when you're looking at 10 or 15 really good projects in different communities that would help transportation run more smoothly and connectability be better in the valley, and have to choose only five, took me a while to kind of figure it out, and I'd take out the map and kind of look at it a little bit. So I really encourage people to do that because they need that input. It's never easy to have things change once lines are on a map and the project's been funded and we're moving forward. But this is really part of that build-out plan of the valley. So really good idea for people to go to there. It's right there smack in the middle of the first page, and it'll tell you, guide you through it very easily. And it doesn't take long, so I encourage people to do it. Maybe you can take it, Mike, and give your assessment on that next week.
Okay, I will do that. I will do that, making sure that I complete it before hit that deadline of November 15th. My eyes are drawn over, of course, a little bit to the left on that same homepage, because there's been a lot of work done to update the mapping regarding flood mapping. And that's fascinating, because it allows you to see if you happen to live in an area that's close to or in a flood area. You can just sit there and zoom in and search for your property. You type in your address, and the next thing you know, you can see where the existing floodplain is going to be in relationship to a new floodplain criteria that has been developed. This is a pretty This is very helpful. You don't have to go down to the building. You can just do that, et cetera. And
The mapping skills of the borough have gotten better and better and better. They've really partnered up with SRAE, who is really the giant in mapping, and they have just really stepped up their game over the last 10 years in mapping. In fact, they're kind of state-of-the-art in some places. What's important about that flood map, Mike, is that if you do zero in on your property and find out you're not in a floodplain and your insurance company thinks you are, you could save yourself some money by getting the documentation that the borough's able to provide now, showing that indeed you're not in a floodplain, and you might get a few dollars off your insurance. So it's really important. I know when they rolled these maps out, essentially, it really saved hundreds of taxpayers money when they got the right mapping tools in there to be able to prove to owners, to prove to their vendor of their insurance that they weren't in a floodplain. And so it actually saved we hear a lot about the borough's costing people money. Well, in this case, they saved the property owners a lot of money. I don't know what the final figure was, but it was pretty substantial. Down that page, too, Mike, is on the left on side, is also talking about the 10th Annual Salmon Symposium, which I always think is really interesting.
Yes.
And some information on that. That's November 8th and 9th, so people can can look at that. And at the very bottom, there's a marijuana update. I often get asked about that, what's going on with marijuana. And there's the presentation in there talking about the taxes that are being collected and things that they're working on there. And that's a very active board, too. No spots vacant on that one, Mike. But
right.
That's always a good one. And then just farther down, since we're on this, we should finish it up. It talks about where you public notices tells you where you can collect firewood.
I was just looking at that as you were talking, and it gives the dates and locations and all the rest of it.
Yeah, and just a note that when you collect it, it's going to be wet. Go put it in your woodshed and let it dry out a year. But it's a good time to go out and when all the brush is off the trees, the leaves are off the trees, you can identify it, and they give an easy way of doing it. It's very, very reasonable if you're willing to do the work to get your own wood, to get it cheaply in the borough if that's the way you supplement or heat. But again, use dry wood. That's it will save your wood and also save our clean air. So
okay. And we should spend a moment at least at bowing in the direction of Juneau because something's happening there, I've been told. Have you picked up anything that we could share with listeners?
Nothing that I can share. I know I've listened to a few hearings on SB 54. Of course, you can watch them if you get gavel to gavel, and if you're watching the House of Representatives, because they're all down in Juneau and they're on television for people able to watch. The Senate started their hearings here in Anchorage in the new LIO, it sounds like, because you can hear construction noise now and again, but it's only an audio tape, although people can go there to testify because they have not gone down to Juneau yet. So I've sat in a couple of those. Have you, Mike?
I have not yet. I was waiting a little bit more to before doing that to see if they were going to head into substantive discussion that would lead to some action of some sort. But at the present time, my understanding is they're still doing the preliminary discussions, the committees, et cetera, and they haven't brought together a real proposal for either of the criminal justice topic or income for the state.
Yeah, well, they are in what we all refer to as the sausage-making area. Will start here pretty soon. They're really just taking testimony at this point, which has been kind of interesting testimony. You know, it's pretty clear this was a big bill that wasn't scrutinized real well, and now they're able to actually sit down with people from departments and talk about how they got there, how the data came together to make the law, and what they've seen so far, what results they have been able to glean. Although there is some indications that it hasn't been enough time to get all the data that needed to know whether things are working or not. It could be argued that way. So I think it's been kind of interesting. I think they've had some interesting people on online about that. That's what the House is doing. The Senate is more so talking about revenue. I noticed that they had the head of the permanent fund there yesterday talking about their investments and how they were investing and how many people they had in that department, that sort of. So they're sort of taking on two different roles, it seems, right now.
Yep.
So, yeah, things should get exciting if and when they get together in Juneau. And this special session is due to go right up until and maybe through Thanksgiving. So we'll see if it goes that long.
Okay. Well, thank you, Citizen Lobbyist, for calling in today. I think we covered some reminding information of what is available through the borough website in particular, and just how extensive participation in this whole process can be. It's not just the assembly sitting up there, and it's not just the administration doing work, but there are a lot of citizens that are involved in different ways.
That's true, Mike. And, you know, we often hear about how the people are uninformed and people don't hear about anything until it's actually happening. And, you know, it's just a good reminder that, you know, the responsibility is on all of us to do our best to try to inform ourselves and to use the tools that are there to do that and to attend meetings when we have time, listen to them on Radio Free Palmer when the many, many meetings that we broadcast and ask questions. So really, there is a lot of information. You can get just about as much as you want, but it's up to you to be involved, too.
Okay.
So go out there, be careful out in the fog, and make it a good day.
All righty. Bye-bye.